Welcome to Grow in Grace Podcast, where we want to encourage you to think deeply about God so that you can know Him and love Him better. Join us as we strive to grow in grace together. Welcome to the Grow in Grace Podcast. We are your hosts, Shanna and Kristen. Hey, Kristen.
Hi.
Hey, I do have one quick question for you. How's your weather? Is it any warmer or is it still like Arctic cold?
It's freezing cold. We got snow. I don't remember how long ago. It feels like ages ago. And it's still hanging around. Like we still have our backyard is still covered in snow. Our front yard is finally, we can finally see the yard. It's finally starting to melt away because the sun beats down on it. But yeah, it's still been cold. And although here in a couple days, rumor has it we're supposed to get up to a whopping 43 degrees. And so it's going to be like spring.
It's currently right now 45 as we're talking. So that's like spring for you.
It's
like
it's 16.
Really cool.
16. So yeah. So obviously you guys survived the cold snap that you had.
We lived our best lives those couple days. They were wonderful. My kids played like literally all day outside and they were exhausted when they came in. It's just so pretty. I'm always like, I love where I live. I love Texas. I love my church. I love my community. But I'm like, I love the snow. Mm. It just brings me a lot of joy.
I like seeing it fall from the ground and fall from the sky to the ground.
Yeah.
And then I'm done with it. Or like, and if it's like sitting on the trees, pretty, I like that. But at this point where it just looks like dirty piles of grossness, it's not fun anymore. And like people have walked through it. And so you get like the footsteps and it just doesn't look pretty anymore. Yeah. So,
and then like, it is a whole, I told my husband, I was like, I forgot what it was like to have like kids in the snow and all the gear. And then you're like, putting it by the fire to like dry it out. We're in Texas. But we've gotten snow at least once the last like probably 3 or 4 years. But like Louisiana actually got a ton of snow. I was talking to a friend of mine today, for our listeners who don't know, that's where I'm from. And I was talking to a friend of mine today who's from Lafayette, which is like a further south than where I grew up. But her family got 11 inches.
Yeah. I mean, and Florida got it. Pensacola did.
I know.
Right?
I'm heading to Florida in 2 weeks crazy. And that snow better be gone. Because if I'm in Florida, I'm going to Orlando though. If I'm in Florida, I want sun. You can give me all the snow here at home, but I want sunshine. So I'm gonna need that to leave.
I'm sure it will have gone away by then.
Let's
no
hope.
Worries.
All right. Well, we have an exciting episode lined up as we're going to dive into the opening chapters of the Bible and talk about the creation narrative in Genesis 1 through 3. So Genesis is probably my favorite book of the Bible. And so I love looking at the way just God reveals himself in all of the stories there. So these chapters are really foundational, not only to understanding the Bible, but to understanding God himself.
Yeah, absolutely. It makes me think. A.W. Tozer said, what comes to our minds when we think about God is the most important thing about us. And so that's why we're starting at the very beginning, right? Because Genesis helps shape our thoughts about God and shows us, like you said, how he reveals himself to us throughout scripture.
Yeah. And you know, like our origin story is really important, right? Like our origin story is crucial because it frames and it sets the tone for every other story that follows. And so today we're going to look and see how God brings order out of chaos, what it means to be made in his image, and how the fall in Genesis 3 points us to redemption.
Yeah. Romans 1:20 says, "For his invisible attributes, namely his eternal power and divine nature, have been clearly perceived ever since the creation of the world and the things that have been made, so they are without excuse." We're also going to explore how God's nature is revealed in these chapters, how they point us forward to the ultimate redemption through Jesus Christ. So whether you've read Genesis 1 through 3 100 times, or you may be hearing it for the first time today, our prayer is that this conversation deepens your understanding of who God is and his plan for his creation.
That's right. So let's start at the very beginning.
Let's do
First,
it.
we see a God who is not created, right? Like he is self-existent. He depends on nothing and no one to give him life or existence. There has never been a moment when God did not exist. And I think that can blow our minds a lot of times when we're thinking about that, our limited brain. But there's never been a moment when God did not exist. The Bible clearly requires us to believe that God created the universe, what theologians would say ex nihilo, which is Latin for out of nothing. The book of Genesis opens with a description of how God created the heavens and the earth and put everything in order so that it might become his dwelling place. We've talked about this recently that God wants to be with his people. And we see this at the very beginning when he is creating the heavens and the earth. Genesis 1 begins with those famous words, "In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth." So right away, we see God as creator. He's bringing light after darkness, and he's bringing order out of chaos. I love Psalms 33. It says, "By the word of the Lord, the heavens were made, by the breath of his mouth, all of their host. For he spoke, and it came to be. He commanded, and it stood firm." And then in Jeremiah 10, it says, "It is he who made the earth by his power, who established the world by his wisdom, and by his understanding, he stretched out the heavens."
We also see God's power and wisdom on display in this creation narrative, right? And the way God creates is very intentional and very rhythmic. You'll notice phrases like, "And God said, let there be, and it was so, and it was good." All of these repetitive phrases going throughout, and that rhythm really highlights God's orderly nature. Nothing about creation is random. He was forming spaces, light and darkness, sky and sea, land and vegetation, and then filling those spaces with the sun, moon, stars, birds, fish, and animals.
Yeah, that's right. I love how John Calvin puts it. He said, "The acts of creation were like God putting on his outside clothes in order that we might see who he is, what he's like, and what he's done." And I love also, we see like right out of the gate, the Trinity present in creation. You have God the Father as creator, you have the Spirit hovering over the waters, and you have the Word, Jesus, through whom everything was made. And we see that like reiterated in John 1, right? John 1 through 3 says, "In the beginning was the Word. And the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through him, and without him was not anything made that was made." I love noticing whenever we see the Trinity working together in Scripture. It also reminds us that keeping God at the center of the narrative changes how we read Genesis, right? Like it's not just a story of what God did, but it's a revelation of who he is.
Absolutely. And then we come to the creation of mankind, right? And Genesis 1:27 says, "So God created mankind in his own image. In the image of God, he created them, male and female, he created them." This is where we see what theologians call in Latin the Imago Dei, or the image of God. So we see people made in the image of God. Everything else was spoken into existence, but with humanity, God got personal. Genesis 2:7 says, "He formed man from the dust and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life." What an act of intimacy and closeness.
Yeah, I that's one of my favorite things. Every time I read, it's like his powerful voice just spoke things into existence, and he could have done that with humanity,
Absolutely.
but he got down and he breathed life into us. Like, I love that. Nothing else in all creation is made in the image of the triune God, right? Only men and women. And if we're going to use the language that scripture used to speak as scripture speaks, you and I don't just bear the image of God. We don't just have the image of God. We are the image of God. When we read Genesis 1, we get used to hearing that God created various things according to their kind, right? Like that phrase, according to their kind, is actually repeated 10 times in the first chapter of the Bible. So when that rhythm is suddenly broken, as it is when God creates man, it really makes you kind of sit up and take note. Because man is not made according to his kind or according to any other kind. Whatever similarities there may be between other animals and man, like humans, we do not belong to their family at all. In fact, God gave us authority over them. And why is that? Because humans alone are made in God's image.
And then, as we'll see shortly, the image of God has been marred by sin. One of the reasons Christ came was to restore the image of God in us. His life shows what it looks like to perfectly image God. When we're talking about the Imago Dei, it's really important to remember that we've never met one human who does not bear God's image. That means that the Christian should have the highest view of the dignity and worth of humanity, of
That's right.
everyone. We should be looking to rehumanize, not dehumanize. We're all made to glorify and magnify the Lord, all meaning all of mankind. God didn't distinguish between the Christian and the non-Christian when he was creating them in his image.
That's exactly right. And I think of like what that means for us in terms of like our speech or the way we interact with each other. We're
Absolutely.
coming off of a really politically charged environment. And there was a lot of believers and pastors that I follow online who were not talking to other people like they were fellow image bearers. And so that's a great point, is that we should be looking to rehumanize, not dehumanize, because we're all made in the image of God. And man, it's such a privilege, right, to be made in God's image, but like it's also extremely humbling because we are God's image. Like we're an image of him. We're a shadow of him. We're a reflection of him, but we are not God. So we are dependent on him moment by moment for the breath that we breathe. Like being made in God's image, it shapes our identity, but also our purpose. Like we are made to reflect God's character, to steward his creation, and to live in communion with him and the people that he made. And I think that's why the Garden of Eden was so special. Like it wasn't just paradise. It wasn't just a place of perfect harmony between God and man. Everything was as it should be. It was perfect shalom. But then, as we know, we get to Genesis 3 and everything changes. I think Genesis 3 is one of the most pivotal chapters in the Bible. Like you have Adam and Eve created in the image of God, placed in a garden of serene beauty. Like they had nothing to fear or to be anxious about. Can we just, I don't even know what that's like. I am a ball of anxiety. Like, what is it like to not have fear or anxiety? They enjoyed beauty and goodness and unbroken fellowship with one another and their creator. But then, as we know, one act of disobedience changed everything. And then, as we'll read in Romans, like in a moment, death and evil were introduced into the world, devastating both creation and mankind. And, I think so many people, especially with kids, like one of my biggest ministries is with kids. And we tend to kind of like to gloss over this part. But I think it's healthy and needed that we feel the gravity, like we sit in what was lost in the fall as we read Genesis 3.
But at the same time, right, the evidences of God's grace in Genesis 3 are incredibly astounding. God would have been completely just had he just immediately returned Adam to the dust and been done with humanity or started over again. Like, right? Like,
Yeah.
he could have just absolutely been like, nope. But
Take
instead,
two. I'm just
right?
kidding.
Like,
I'm
oops.
just kidding.
Right, exactly.
Yeah.
God doesn't say oops, but he would have been just again to have just like end it all, be like,
It was
nope,
two
back
people.
to dust.
Yeah,
Right.
two people.
But instead, he showed mercy and compassion. The reason for hope in spite of sin is evident in at least four ways in this passage, right?
Right. I think the first is shown in God's curse upon the serpent, right? I kind of love it because when he's like, he asks, like, what have you done? And then they're like blaming the serpent. And instead of
Right.
immediately pronouncing judgment on Adam and Eve, he first directs his judgment toward the serpent. And he says in Genesis 3:15, I will put enmity between you and the woman, and between your offspring and hers. He will crush your head and you will strike his heel. And theologians call this the proto-evangelium, which is the first announcement of the gospel. Like, we get the first announcement of the gospel right off the bat. Immediately after sin enters the world, God initiates a plan to deal with it, right? Like, this plan to reconcile people to himself becomes a unifying theme throughout the story of Scripture. And it culminates in the person of Jesus Christ, who's the second Adam, right? Like, whose death and resurrection defeated sin, death, and the devil.
The second place that we see God's grace is in Genesis 3:20, when Adam gives his wife a name. So Genesis 3:20 says, "The man called his wife's name Eve because she was the mother of all living." This verse almost seems out of place. Like, why mention it here?
Okay.
Like, all right, this seems like a bit of a departure, but
Yeah.
so the name Eve means life giver. And although it will be in pain that she will bring forth children, God is not done with humanity, right? Despite her sin, Eve will have the distinction of being the mother of all living.
That's grace. I think the third thing that we see is in verse 21. It says, the Lord made for Adam and for his wife garments of skin, and he clothed them. That these garments were made of skin implies that an animal had to die, right, to cover Adam and Eve's nakedness. So this is also like the first shedding of blood that we see in the Bible. This hints at the sacrificial system as well as the eventual work of Christ, that we are clothed in his righteousness. And I think it also just shows the fatherly love of God toward his children. Like, he didn't leave them naked and ashamed, and he doesn't leave us naked and ashamed either.
Finally, the fourth thing is even God's driving Adam and Eve from the garden was an act of mercy. And on the surface, it doesn't seem like that would be an act of mercy to drive them out of the garden. But the tree of life apparently served in some way to confirm a person in his or her moral condition. So verses 22 through 23 says, "Then the Lord God said, Behold, the man has become like one of us in knowing good and evil. Now, lest he reach out his hand and take also of the tree of life and eat and live forever. Therefore, the Lord God sent him out from the Garden of Eden to work the ground from which he was taken." So God refused to allow Adam and Eve to eat from this tree and remain forever in their sinful state. He bars access to the tree until Jesus returns, at which time Revelation 22 tells us that those of us who belong to him will once again be able to enjoy its fruits.
The way everything was meant to be, right?
We're
Perfect
restored back.
shalom. That's right. As we are going through a lot of these stories in the Bible, we're going to be taking like a really high, like 30,000 foot view of these things. I would really encourage our listeners to maybe slow down and really chew on a lot of this because there's so much that God reveals about himself, right, in his word. But like as we wrap up, I'm really struck by how just the first three chapters of Genesis reveals so much about who God is, right? We see that he is self-existent. Like he depends on no one or nothing to give him existence. We see that he's creative. He brings beauty and life out of nothing. Like we can emulate that. Well, I'm not creative, but there are creative people out there. But you're still not working with nothing, right? Like he is the ultimate creator. We see that his sovereignty is evident in the order and the rhythm of creation. Like nothing was accidental or out of place. We see that he's personal, and we see that in the way that he intimately formed humanity by bringing life into us and then designing us for community with him and each other. We see that he's holy. He's completely perfect and separate from sin. And he's also just. He has the right to punish sin. And we see that the result of sin is separation from a holy God. But even after the fall, we see that he's merciful, which reminds us that he's a God who pursues and redeems.
You know, Genesis 1 through 3 reminds us that the Bible isn't just a collection of stories that stand independently. It's a unified narrative pointing us to God's love and redemption. The creation account and the fall in Genesis, they set the stage for the gospel, showing us God's plan for humanity even before sin entered the world. From the promise of a savior way back in Genesis 3:15, to the ultimate fulfillment in Christ, these early chapters start laying the groundwork for understanding God's redemptive work throughout Scripture. They invite us to see the depth of His love and the lengths He will go to restore us to Himself because He wants to be with His children.
That's right. I want to close with a reminder that God didn't just create everything and then just like wipe his hands of his creation, but he's actively involved in sustaining the universe even now. Like God is transcendent, but he's also immanent. He is no abstract deity removed from his creation, right? Like the story of the Bible is the story of God's involvement in his creation. And particularly the people in it. And so I just love this. And we want to echo the words of Nehemiah, where he says, "You are the Lord, you alone. You have made heaven, the heaven of heavens, with all their host, the earth and all that is on it, the seas and all that is in them. And you preserve all of them, and the host of heaven worships you."
Well, I feel like that was a great start to our new series, that we got to cover the creation narrative and be able to see those characteristics of God, all throughout the first three chapters of Genesis. And so I can't wait for us to continue on this series and be able to continue to dive into some of these stories and see God's character all the way throughout Scripture. So, friends, until next time.
Bye.
Thank you for listening to the Grow in Grace podcast. You can find us at growingracepodcast.com for links to all of our social medias, resources we suggest, and to listen to previous episodes. We hope you can join us next time as we strive together to grow in grace.